Welcome to the Sarah Centrella Show. Join best-selling author, master life coach, and manifesting expert Sarah Centrella as she shares tips, tools, and inspiring interviews to help you create your dream life. It's time to hustle and thrive. Now, here's your host, Sarah Centrella.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Sarah Centrella Show. I am super passionate about the topic of conversation today. As you know, if you've followed me for any length of time, I'm a huge believer in the fact that we have to do some subconscious work in order to kind of match up all the conscious work that we do and mindset training and all of those good things, which I'm always talking about on the show. But today, I am thrilled to have my guest on today because she's an expert in all things kind of subconscious and subconscious healing. Irina, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Sarah, thank you so much for having me. And hello, everybody. I'm excited to be part of this podcast and share what I know about subconscious. It's fascinating, and I hope that you'll find it useful.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you have an amazing background. You're a Harvard alum. You're a clinical hypnotherapist, right? And you specialize in healing from trauma and subconscious reprogramming, which I'm so all about. Can't wait to get into all of those good things. But before we do that on this show, we'd love to know a little bit of your backstory. Like, how did you get here? Where did this calling come from or this passion come from? And what has that journey been like? Can you kind of take us back to where it started for you?
Sure. I'll be happy to. So I actually do, whenever I'm asked what I do, there is really no a simple answer. I do all kinds of things, and this is not my first calling in life, but whatever I do and wherever I am, I have always been passionate about helping people be the best they can, advancing their potential. So for it's scary to say this, but for almost 30 years, I've been involved in teaching and training in various roles. And currently, I'm also a university professor at the School of Medicine for Health Care Administration at University of Kansas. But my main job is actually healthcare administration, and I work in psychiatry. My passion really now is clinical hypnotherapy. Now, why? As many people who help others started doing that because at one point of time, there was a moment in their lives when they needed help. Yeah. So for me, really, I was a healthcare administrator working in psychiatry. I knew quite a little bit about things that work. And by the time, I also knew quite a little bit about the things that didn't work as well. And really what happened to me is during COVID, I was in charge of operations of a psych hospital. And to say that it was challenging in itself is to say nothing, because that was one big ambiguity every day. But on top of that, really, I had a very abusive boss. So I found myself in a relationship that I wasn't able to exit. Yeah. And my boss was also a PhD in clinical psychology. So when we talk about master level, later, that's what it really was.
And so, with no excuse, right? Like,
exactly. So it wasn't, oh, I'm unaware. That was really, and so really, you know, I was looking for a way out for myself because I found myself falling apart, completely depressed, hopeless, and anything I was trying and doing, just nothing worked and nothing helped. Well, I do want to step back kind of a little bit and say that by nature and through my experiences, I am pretty resilient, and typically in life, I find ways out. And when I say this, I've been bedridden for quite some time. I escaped war zone with my family. I went through immigration. So when I say, and I had to start from scratch 10 years ago. So when I say I'm resilient, this is not just, oh, you know, I know how
yeah,
to
do you're this. Like, I've fought back from the brink.
Exactly. So I know what I'm saying. And here I found myself stuck and I just couldn't find the way out. So I was doing my research and trying to find, I've tried all the traditional methods. I actually started medications, trying to support myself because I couldn't function. And I knew I didn't want to do that long term. I wanted to find a solution. The traditional therapy methods that I tried kind of scratched the surface, but didn't give me the depth that I wanted. So it gave me some temporary relief, but
right.
I knew it almost felt like something was holding me inside.
Yeah.
So as I was doing my research, I came across hypnotherapy. Well, let me tell you, by that time, I read a lot of clinical research and I was very, very skeptical. I thought it was some sort of unprofessional magic.
And your background was coming to it from the medical side of it, right?
I'm not the medical professional, but I'm trained in
the
healthcare
psychology
administration.
Side, yeah.
And so this is, you know, I saw the traditional methods, but also for my studies and my work, I had to read a lot of clinical research too,
yeah.
Right? So, and in general, I'm pretty analytical kind of person. So it was very hard for me to convince myself that this would be something that I would try. Couple of things really were, first, I thought, well, I'm pretty strong and resilient, so no one can hypnotize me because it's just not going to
right,
work.
I'm not going to let it happen.
Right.
I have enough resistance. I can control it. Yeah.
Exactly. But on the other side, and that's what I'm finding with a lot of my clients, is that it was a fear of losing control.
Sure.
Because for people who are used to being in control and knowing how things work, it's hard to let it go. And then on top of that, really, I was skeptical and with a lot of disbelief. But as many of my clients, I had no other choice but to try it. And I said, okay, well, what am I going to lose? Because really, I was so desperate looking for solutions. Then I also did my research and, you know, I found out that, in fact, hypnotherapy is pretty widely used now by even leading healthcare establishments like Mayo Clinic and Cleveland Clinic for pain management, anxiety, other things. And so I thought, okay, well,
I'm gonna try. Yeah.
Sounds good. I'm going to try it. And so I went for it. But honestly, I did not expect that my life would turn around that fast. And the reality is, you know, we talk a lot about connection between our mind and our body and how things are connected. But we all experience from time to time this internal fight when our logic, our brain says, this is what it is. But then something inside of us, whether it's the true self or your soul or, you know, the inner child.
Yeah.
Exactly. Whatever it is says, no, you can't do this. Or, you know, this is not what I want. And so very often this fight is stopping us. So for me, that fight was really discovering that for years in my life, what I saw is a pattern that was stemming from my childhood, from my really young years when my teacher at preschool, who had a lot of power and was not a very nice person, made me feel small, made me feel lacking control, not being able to be myself. At that time, that was a teacher who was not letting me use the bathroom when I was just a little girl and when I needed it.
Which is traumatic when you're a little girl, because you're like, I'm speaking up for myself. I have needs and your needs are not being met and you're being shut down on top of it.
Exactly. But then through the years, I found myself in similar situations, whether with teenage friends who were really abusive and controlling, and I felt that, you know, I really wasn't doing anything wrong. I was being a good person, but I got kind of punished for it, and it's almost like this theme of continuous humiliation. And I realized during my hypnotherapy work that that's exactly what I was going through with my abusive boss. And so what
happened? Yeah, because the patterns just keep showing up and showing up and showing up throughout your life. And that's the part about like tapping into the subconscious. It's just so mind-blowing. It's like finally, it's like finding the lost key.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
On a conscious level, you're like, I know there's something. Like, what is it? I'm doing everything I can do. And then to be able to unlock that. So I have to ask you a question real quick. Like when you made that connection of, you know, your preschool teacher, was that during a hypnotherapy session? Like,
Yes, that was. And so the idea is that I help people get to the root of their issue,
where it came from,
work through it, right? And work through that moment with your preschool teacher and clear that situation and how you felt there, and get the power in that situation. Because the reality is that the more I grew up and the higher I climbed, the more sophisticated my abusers became.
For sure. Yeah.
And so then I needed to get that skill and that power, subconsciously being that little girl.
Yeah.
To also understand that I'm not going to let that happen anymore.
Right.
And so really by doing that, and, you know, as I'm describing, you might have picked up that I use some traditional therapy tools as I'm working with a person while they're in hypnosis. And so what it allows to do is overcome logic, kind of open the door of the subconscious and go to a place where we don't have the need to protect ourselves anymore.
Wow. Okay. So I have to ask the question that is on my mind. So it's probably on someone's mind listening. And I could see where the fear would come in of not wanting to let go of control. I mean, there's probably part of that that's like, I don't know if I want to know, right? Like I'm terrified of what might come out that I don't know about, you know? And so walk us through like what actually happens. Like, are you awake? Can you hear yourself talking? Like, are you tapping into memories? Like, what is it that is so pivotal about unlocking a part of us that we can't get to when we're consciously trying?
That's a great question. So first, I guess I'm going to start with trying to describe how it feels. I do want to say that unless you try it, it's almost impossible to describe. Most people don't realize they're in hypnosis until they come out of it, because this is an absolutely natural state. We all experience this state of hypnosis at least twice a day, when we are just about to wake up and when we go to bed. So it's completely natural. And because this is completely natural, people don't even realize that this is what hypnosis is. Therapeutic hypnosis is not a stage hypnosis. You know, it's not like tapping somebody's forehead and they turn into chicken or anything like that. This is really a relaxation of your nervous system and the highest level of your concentration. You feel, hear, remember, understand everything. And really what happens is this is, if you look from the side at what's happening, this is just a conversation. And this is just a dialogue. When you come out, you will remember absolutely everything that happened. So it's not like you don't know what is going on. And so I know with many of my clients who come in and they're kind of scared about losing this control. So I gave them a primer recording to try it out for themselves, or, you know, I'll be happy to share a meditation, hypnotic meditation, with any of the listeners, and just to try what it feels like. Really, most people would describe it as a deep meditation, And it doesn't feel any strange or different, but the more you do it, the more you tap into that power of your subconscious, and the more you do, the more you activate it. And eventually you start noticing that things that you wish for come to your life faster. So when we talk about manifesting, and I know that you are an expert in manifestation, and so really with hypnotherapy, what it does is if we take a glass, right, and imagine that there is some, let's say, tea, and it's dark. So usually when we manifest, and if we want to manifest clear water, we're going to pour water, and eventually, hopefully, after some time, it will become clean.
Right.
What I do with hypnotherapy is I help people pour this dark water out, rinse it, and then pour the clear water. So
wow.
Really, it's
yeah.
a much faster effect. That's what it is compared to regular therapy.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me because, you know, as we're recording this, we're what, 2 days away from the solar eclipse that happened in the US. And so no matter what your belief system is, no matter if you do or don't believe in energy, do or don't believe in the universe, do or don't believe in God, if you were at all exposed to that natural phenomenon, you felt energy. There was just no way to feel it. I mean, I think we had like 26% here, so it was very small here, but I could still feel palpable energy in the environment. And so to me, it's like, of course we carry all kinds of energy, and how could it not be programmed through at least the first part of our childhood that we don't remember consciously, when, you know, they say what, the first 5 years are the most impressionable for a child. And of course, we don't have conscious memories really of the first 5 years for the most part. And so why wouldn't I want to tap into that, unlock that, figure out what some of those stamps were, if you will, that were like, you know, imprinted on me? Because like you said before, and I've experienced this myself, and this is kind of what got me into meditation and got me into learning about my subconscious, is that I was doing all the conscious work, and I'm a huge, huge believer in the fact that you can reprogram your thinking. You absolutely can change your belief systems. You can uproot old belief systems. But a lot of that is all at the conscious level, right? It's me understanding I have a belief that I'm not worthy, or me understanding I have a belief of lack, right? So I already know that. So then I can change what I know, right? But the problem, not the problem with that, but like the frustrating thing with that is like, once you've kind of checked all those boxes, then you get to this place where you're really self-aware and you can still feel that other, you're like, there's something else blocking me. I know there is. I'm still seeing patterns show up. Like, what is going on? And that's really where I turn to meditation, to guided meditations and guided hypnosis and energy healing and things like that. Because to me, it was almost like working from the root system up and from the top down. So like,
sure.
Why wouldn't I want both?
Exactly. And I do want to say that, you know, definitely if it's not a magic tool, and if someone comes in, you know, with an expectation that I'm going to click my fingers and resolve somebody's issues, this is not the case. It's always both sides, but I have the tools and I can act as a guide and as a support system to make it happen a lot faster. So compared to like regular therapy,
right,
you know, we can resolve things in just, honestly, in 1 to 3 sessions compared to things that people work on for months or weeks. So really, for me, that's one of the reasons why I love this methodology and love these tools that I use. And really, it's a combination by now of all many different things, is because for me, I want things fast and I want things effective and I want things
to
work.
All day. I'm like, I'm not trying to spin my wheels with something that isn't proven, that doesn't have a track record. I give me the fast track. But yeah, so I love that. Does someone have to be really open, or can you work with clients? Like, what, tell me, talk about the difference, I guess, between when someone is really receptive versus when someone is coming in really resistant and really blocked? Like, can it still work if you're in that state?
So that's a good question. One of the questions that I ask people who turn to me for help is, how committed are you to resolving your problem on a scale from 0 to 10? If it's less than 8, I'm not even going to work with this person. I don't ask, do you believe in it?
Right.
I ask how committed you are. And here's the thing, is that honestly, most of my clients come to me when they have tried everything else.
It feels like a last resort, right? They're like, it's not going to hurt anything, right?
Exactly. So just yesterday, I had a client who came in with horrible headache, and he was very, very skeptical, highly intelligent men, and he was joking a lot, and that's also, you know, part of the protection piece. And it almost felt like, you know, I'm going to come in to prove that it's not going to work. And so when I work with clients, I do provide support after the sessions. And so I texted with him today and I said, how's it going? And he's like, well, I'm doing what you're telling me. Honestly, it's much better, but I'm scared to talk about it. So even though he came in almost like, okay, show me what you do, I've tried everything you can think of, nothing worked. The thing is that it's not even about how much you believe in it, but if your desire to resolve the issue is bigger than your fear and your resistance to trying, you'll get your outcome.
I could see where it could be a lot like, so I always tell people when they're using my tools to change their thinking or change their belief systems, that they don't have to believe in them at all initially. All they have to do is do the work, like just show up and use the tool and use the tool and use the tool. And over time, it is the thing that will change how you feel about it, right? Because you'll start to see a result and you'll start to notice you're making new choices and new decisions, or you don't have that thought anymore, whatever the case is. So you don't have to buy in initially at all. You just have to show up and do it. And so I'm guessing it would be somewhat similar if there's any part of the receptiveness to, hey, I'll try whatever. And if I just continue to show up and do the work, I'm going to get some of those results. So I'm also curious how, and I think this has been around for a while, because I know I've seen it a lot where people are like, oh, you can use hypnosis to lose weight, or you can use hypnosis for this, that, or the other thing. Like, how does it work in a specific instance? Like, let's say I want to get healthy, or I want to get fit, or I want to lose weight, or does it? I think let's start there.
Sure. So I do want to say that I really, you know, whenever people ask me, can you help with this? My answer is typically, if you were not born with this, it will probably work for you. The reason is that somewhere in your life, you develop a belief, an understanding, a thought, a habit that you need this, whatever it is, the extra weight. Typically, that's for protection, right? Or to hide from something that you're hiding. But I'm just giving it as an example. So really, it does work for multiple things. What people come to me often is chronic pains, psychological issues, blocks, weight loss. And again, with the weight loss, as I said, very often this is about either hiding from something, protecting from something. If it's emotional eating, for instance, right? I work a lot with eating disorders, and not because this is my specialty, but I just happen to have many cases, very successful cases, that with folks, I've even had several medical doctors who came in with bulimia, who couldn't get rid of it for years and are now bulimia free. The reason is not, again, I don't cure anyone and I don't treat anyone. But when it works is because somewhere there was a thought that, for instance, I don't have control over something. And in this instance, control over food, which the easiest accessible thing to control.
Something you can see, right?
Exactly. Is your coping mechanism. But with time, you know, as you develop this habit, really, eventually that becomes part of you and part of your character, and it almost switches because now it's not you controlling the food, but it's the food controlling you. And so once we break that chain, once we break that link, you're ready to let it go. And there are a lot of recorded hypnotic meditations and sessions, and they often work just great to help people resolve their issues, but then some still feel stuck. And you know, some people
it's still very much one way. You're just receiving a generic.
Exactly. So in this case, it is helpful to work with someone who has experience to actually guide you to get to the root of it, right?
Unlock
because
it.
otherwise you're just programming, you know, pouring that water without pouring the dark water out, right? And the thing is that, but it's not even, you know, sometimes it will work, for instance, for one person, recorded weight hypnosis sessions will work for weight loss, but will not work for pain. And the reason is that if you really need to clear a lot here, clear it up, you need help. So it's really, it's case by case, but it does work with a lot of things.
Do you see it also, because I'm such a big believer in the mind-body connection and in the fact that our body can trap trauma and trap our emotions and all of that, and lead to chronic disease and just all of those things. Do you see those connections as well? Or are you able to unlock, you know, some of that kind of help someone improve their physical health as well?
For sure. For sure. And again, as I said before, I don't treat and I don't cure, but what I do is I help people activate their internal power. And I do have a lot of clients who come in with chronic pains that they were not able to release otherwise. People were told all you can do is really take painkillers and that's your only remedy, or your, well, that's just age, you have to cope with it and this is what you have. But you know, really, again, for the physical health, I had my own experience that I had before I even heard about hypnotherapy. I mentioned I was bedridden. I had a bed accident and I was, I had a lot of broken bones. I was told I would never walk. I would be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. It took me 2 years to recover. And really, the story of what happened to me was a manifestation. Like, I had no intact limbs and nothing to lean on to start walking again. And so my story was a manifestation for myself that regardless of what the doctors say, regardless of what, you know, statistics, anything, I really, really, really wanted to live and I wanted to be, you know, to walk, to exercise, to live my full life.
Wow.
And at that time, really, I had no idea what hypnotherapy or whatever it is, the power of subconscious, I had no access to internet. Okay. So that was, and now I understand that what I did was really working with my subconscious. I was telling myself that I'm going to do this anyway. I'm going to wear high heels. I'm going to drive a car. I'm going to
the outcome you want. Yeah.
And it happened. And I do yoga and I walk a lot and I exercise. And at the time, you know, I thought, okay, I can't let my hands just get frozen. So I started teaching myself to knit. And so this way, by the time I was ready to go, I still had some ability, but it was all intuitive. Like, I don't know what I was doing, but physical therapists told me, no, it's just, you know, we're even going to work with you. They're like, that's
the power of belief, right?
And it exactly.
Just shows you how powerful it is and how the connection is to your body as well.
And so I think for me too, part of it is because I've experienced it myself. Whenever someone comes in I just know that our bodies and our minds are capable of amazing, incredible things. And I think, you know, part of it too is depending on who you work with. If you, as a therapist, as a guide, as a person who is there to support, believe it wholeheartedly,
right?
It makes a huge difference.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, if you think about it, the best example is, you imagine that you get on a plane and the pilot says, okay, well, I think, you know, I think it's probably,
hopefully we'll make it. We'll make it.
I think we could probably make it versus, yeah, I'm confident I'm going to get you there.
Yeah.
And so regardless of whether you believe or not, or you don't believe, right?
Yeah.
It makes a huge impact.
Oh, completely. I mean, and that's, for me, I practice what I preach. All the steps and things that I teach were things that I did for myself and still do to this day. And I'm constantly working and reworking and finding faster ways to, you know, get results so that I can always speak from a place of firsthand experience. And similar to you, right? Like, you are now able to practice from a place of firsthand experience because you know that it changed your life. You know that it unlocked something that you weren't able to unlock before, which, you know, like, once you have your own proof, it's pretty hard not to get out there and just want to help other people who are going through really difficult things. So how can you use this to do some subconscious reprogramming, or do you, what are some of the maybe strategies or tips or tools that you use to help reprogram our subconscious? Let's say, a lot of people, when they want to manifest, the first thing they want to manifest is abundance, right? Like, that's the top on anyone's list. If I was to put it out there, that's what everyone wants. And then maybe secondarily would be like love or health or whatever, but abundance is always number one. So what reprogramming tools or strategies or hypnosis, how does it affect those beliefs of lack and kind of unlocking that?
Sure. Well, that's a great question. And I think, one of the things that is probably very distinctive for me when I work with folks, and what I recommend, is to start with the question, what is abundance for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, some think that it's yachts and a mansion, and some think that this is good health, and some think that it's a combination of both, or a combination of 55 things.
Yeah.
In really helping people, one of the first things I do is I help people really identify what they want. What is their true desire? Very often this information noise and this pressure from the society to what, you know, ads are everywhere. People are saying this is good for you, right? You need to have this. Everyone's wearing badge this season, so you need to wear a badge as well. Do you really like badge?
Right, right.
Something that's going to make you feel good. And so very often when clients come to me, they tell me, well, I want abundance. And then I ask them, well, tell me more. What is it that you don't have? And they can talk for hours about the issues that they have. But once I start asking them, well, what is that that you really want to achieve? If you could wake up tomorrow and you have everything you want, what is that?
God. Absolutely. I always say that's the hardest question. It's the first question I work with any client on, because it is the hardest question for the average person to answer. I mean, I think like there's this part of everybody out there who's like, yeah, I have an idea. I know. But then all you have to do is take a pause and press it a little bit, and all of a sudden it's like a total freeze zone. I have no idea.
Exactly.
And when you just look at that little piece of it, it's like, well, no wonder why you're not moving in a direction you want to go, because you have no idea what that direction is.
Exactly. And so really what I do, and that's why it is so different from the generic, right, recordings, which they work too, but really the power of my work with clients is helping them activate their subconscious to get what they truly want. And that starts with the thought and the words and carefully crafting what they want. And I do create hypnotic meditations for my clients, but they are unique meditations to each client. So they're not cookie cutters. Yeah. They are. So basically, we work together on defining what they would like to reprogram their software to be.
Yeah.
Then we do that, because really, if you don't do that, you can end up installing conflicting thoughts and
so
contributing
true.
Even more to that conflict, yep. Right? And so, you know, for instance, some people come in to me and say, well, I want to be super successful at work. And I just, anytime, like recently I had a client came in, wanted to be successful at work, but they needed to speak in public a lot. So they came in because they said, I want to be good in public speaking. Well, the issue was that if they started really doing a lot of the public speaking, and you know, their path was looking like they would become very wealthy. The problem is their belief was that wealthy is bad.
It's bad. Yeah.
And so that's what was blocking the public speaking. And I can't really predict for any of my clients what the root cause of the issue is going to be. But, you know, because of what I just described, what happens more often than not is someone comes in with one request.
And it's usually something else. Yeah, always.
Something else or a combination of things. Like very often people come in for psychological stuff, but also as we work together, they experience a lot of sensations in their body, and they may leave with a released pain in their shoulders or in their back, because that was actually tied directly to the emotion that they released. And so typically people come with one thing and then need a lot more.
I think the crazy part too, or the amazing part, is that when you find that root cause, it's usually tied to multiple areas in your life, right? You know, it shows up at the one place that's giving you pain, if you will, the thing that you notice, like, okay, there's got to be something under here. But once you've solved it in one area, it's like boom, 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 the rest of it. And it almost always comes up. If it's coming up in finances, it's coming up in relationships. It's coming up in your self beliefs. It's all over the place. So it's so like empowering to find that key, unlock it, release it, get it out, because then it's like, oh my God, I cleared the deck with it.
Yes. Yes.
So is there anything that you do for your clients or that you suggest that people do to keep their water clear, so to speak, like to keep that or from recurring, or does it usually recur, or what is that process? Let's say you did unlock something, you deal with it. What is kind of that process look like post hypnosis, when you kind of come out of hypnosis?
Sure. Well, that's a really good question too. So the reality is that, first of all, as I work with folks, as I just described, I help them understand why it is so important to know what they want and how to work with their subconscious, right? So my goal is to help clients become free of their issue as soon as I can, so that they can be free and, you know, achieve what they want. But my goal is not to have them come back and work on it for years. But the good thing about all of it too is, as I said, I create these recordings that are specifically catered to each person. So really, you leave with your pocket therapist. And life will happen. You know, things will come up. But
you can aware now. Right? You'll be consciously aware of something that you were not consciously aware of before, and you'll have the opportunity to make a different choice.
Exactly. But on top of that, even when it is hard, you have your recording that you can pull up, and it will give you additional strength and kind of strengthen those new neural connections that you have created. It's like riding a bike, right? if you ride a bike and you learn to do it and then you don't ride it for some time, what do you need to do? You need to start riding it again, and it's going to be a little wobbly, but then it will, you'll get back on track. And typically it happens then much faster.
How long does that programming process typically take? Let's say it's something that you've released in hypnosis, but you really want to like solidify the new belief. Now that you've kind of unlocked whatever the negative piece was, do you usually suggest someone listen to that like for 30 days, or is there any type of typical timeline that it usually takes to kind of like reprogram that messaging?
Sure. So I do, well, it has to be daily, almost like religious, religious daily, like brushing your teeth, combing your hair. I do recommend that it is at least 3 weeks, but that's the absolute minimum. And the thing is that I recommend that the person does it regardless. There are a lot of clients who feel immediate relief and they say, oh, it's work. Thank you. I don't need it.
Yeah.
No.
Like, no, do the practice.
Exactly. It's like, you know, if this hypnotherapy session is kind of like a surgery to get what you don't need anymore out, then working on solidifying what you worked on these new neural connections is almost like a physical therapy. If you don't do it, it's not going to work, or it will work, but not as good, and you are not going to have as long-term results as you wanted to have. And so really what I'm seeing is that it just depends on how long it takes. As I said, sometimes it's almost immediate. I mean, I've had people seriously come in, you know, bad back pain, can't bend.
Right,
and they are able to bend almost all the way right after the session. But in order to get rid of the pain and to let the pain go, for some it takes a week, for some it takes 3 months, and it just depends. And it doesn't mean that if this is how it worked for me for the first time, you know, that was like real quick. For some of the issues, I had to work on myself for months.
Yep.
To really see the outcomes. And I notice that the deeper the belief and the more resistant you are, the harder it really, well, the longer it takes.
The longer it takes, sure, because it's been programmed for so long. And
I also notice that, you know, when you want something then it's almost like this, okay, you need to let that go.
Just
let that control
absolutely
go. And
absolutely.
When you almost forget
to
think about it all the time,
that's when it shows up.
And you look back and it's like, oh.
And it feels easy when it does. You're like, oh God, that was so easy. Like, why was I making it so hard before?
So it just depends. And again, it's not, it does depend probably on a person, but it depends on this particular person, this particular issue, this particular request, a number of things.
Most importantly, it depends, like you said in the very beginning, on how willing are you to change?
Exactly.
Are you committed to changing? Is that desire greater than the lethargy of staying the same? And if that's true, then you will put in the work, you'll do the practice. And so I tell my clients when it comes to their I am statements or their mental tennis or any of the tools that I teach, it's like, you have to do that minimum twice a day, morning and night, while you're brushing your teeth or while you're in the shower, whatever the case is. Like, if you're not putting in the practice, like, it's just common sense, people, but it's so easy not to do. It blows my mind. Like, I can be guilty of it too, right? Like, I'll be like, everything's going great. I'm fine. And I'll be thinking I'm doing my practice, and a week will go by and I'll be like, oh shit, I haven't actually, like, I forgot to meditate this week or whatever, you know? So like, I get it. But when you start to see results and you start to feel better, like, just double down. don't walk away, double down. And all of that is just going to expedite and expedite. I love that. Is there any tips for anyone at home for something they could do, like even today, to start to like get in the right energy? Obviously, we want them to get a session with you, and everybody go follow. I'll put the links and stuff in the show notes. And you do take clients, right? So you do sessions and things like that. People can reach out to you. Is there anything else that people can be doing or should be doing to kind of like get in the right energetic space?
Sure. I think as we already discussed, number one is, again, as you said, do the work. Open, you know, grab a sheet of paper and write down what you want. And once you do that, check for any words with negative suffixes and prefixes for ill, write anything like if you know, unsuccessful,
right?
It should be successful. So find those words and mentally think real hard how to replace those words for the positive ones. So for instance, if you have something's hurting, right? Like a client yesterday came in with headache.
Yeah.
I asked him, what do you want? Well, I want my head not to hurt.
Right. The hurt is what's manifesting over and over and over again, right? Because the hurt is staying over and
over.
And
so when it doesn't hurt, what does it feel like? Yep. Well, it just doesn't hurt.
Feels good. Yeah.
So find the ways, right? Feels light, feels clear. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a great exercise to start with.
Yeah.
Dark, really, there is nothing, you know, there is nothing magic about it, but you just shift your focus from the negative to the positive. And that's the greatest tool that I think, you know, people can use. The next thing is, you know, you could also really record for yourself just nice things that you would like to hear. Another suggestion is, and it sounds very simple, but if you've never done it, believe me, it's going to be pretty uncomfortable. Take a mirror.
Yep.
yourself, I love you.
Yeah.
Just these three words. You might find you don't believe yourself. It's hard to look into your own eyes. You might find it makes you want to cry.
Yeah.
You may feel weird. You will feel tons of resistance. But if you repeat it enough, you will feel it changing, a huge difference. And really why I'm saying this is, you know, a lot of the folks come in with worried about gossip, jealousy, going through relationship issues. Well, the reality is other people can only value you as much or no more than you value yourself. And if you are having a hard time telling yourself, I love you, you can't expect others to really love you.
So true.
So that's, I think these are the best tips that I can provide.
Amazing, amazing tips. Those are components of what I've worked with for years and years and years with clients. So I know for a fact they work. They're simple, which is what I love about them, but they work so well. I have my clients stand in the mirror and make eye contact with themselves and go through their entire I am list of all the things they want to be, feel, how they want to be treated. So they, you're hearing maybe for the first time some of these things that you always wished a parent had said to you or a lover had said to you or whatever. And it is super powerful. It can be really emotional for a lot of people. But it's one of the fastest ways to transform into what each of those things are that there is. Like, it's just, it's amazing. It takes 2 minutes of your time. But again, it's practice. You have to do it twice a day. For at least 30 days. And then you're going to start to totally feel, you'll begin to embody what those, whatever the words are that you've been using. So awesome. So thank you so much for coming on and breaking this down for us and sharing a little bit about how our subconscious works and how we do have power and control to go in and do deeper work if we want to. And I hope people do. Thanks so much, Irina, for being on.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for having me over. And I think the message that I would like to leave at the end of this conversation is everybody just needs to know that they already have the power within. We all have it inside. It's just, if you can't find it yourself,
get a little help.
Find the person that can help you find it, and your life can be different tomorrow.
Amen.
Please don't wait, because every day of your life is a gift and it's precious, and we all deserve the best that we can get. So
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. I'll have the links here. Go follow on Instagram. She's got lots of amazing tips on there as well. And until next time, everybody, get out there and hustle and thrive.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thanks for listening. And remember, if you got value from today's show, please spread the love by clicking subscribe, leaving a stellar review, and telling everyone you know. And join us next time on the Sarah Centrella Show.